Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to episode 149 of your favourite Formula One show. Knowing Wheel returns to cap off what has been an encapsulating Formula One 2023 season. And to change it up due to budget cuts, Jamie183 is no longer on the podcast. I'm joined by Jamie184. How are we doing, my guy?
Yeah, I've grown so weary of 2023 season that I've got another number now.
you don't want any threes in your name.
No. I'm good. We're only going to appear on this channel a few more times, which is a real shame. On if you're watching on Matt212, that is, because of course, in a few weeks' time now, we are going to be moving home permanently to the new Knowing Wheel channel. So go and subscribe over there if you haven't already.
We only have 5 ever episodes to go on this channel, including this one, Jamie. How does it feel for you personally, losing your little spot on Matt212?
I'm like, yeah, it's I've been on this channel sporadically since 2016.
So. Yeah, that is kind of alarming, isn't it? You've been in and out for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
But finally, we are. We're not saying.
Ever since beating you in my first ever league race.
You did beat me in Australia, didn't you? Yeah. How did that championship look at the end of the year?
After 3 races, it looked great.
Oh, that is some nostalgia for you all. None of you all know what we're on about that listen to this. But still, of course, yeah, if you aren't already, please do make sure you get yourself subscribed to the Knowing Wheel channel. Jamie, how many subs are you on, my friend?
550. I did the research in advance.
We are up to 306. We crossed over 300 in the last week.
Lovely.
So a massive thank you to all of you that have subscribed. And I actually did another video today explaining that there's going to be less content on the main channel, and Knowing Wheel was mentioned there. So hopefully people are getting the memo. But Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, Jamie, obviously we did a pre-show before the weekend. All the drivers had no energy because, of course, they'd had to do a 12-hour time difference between Las Vegas and this weekend. But it was the final race of the year. Often a time, obviously, where we celebrate all the drivers retiring, which isn't happening. All the drivers that might be moving teams, which isn't happening. And, of course, a championship battle decider, which didn't happen either. It was, let's be fair, not the most hyped weekend, was it? I was more excited for Formula 2 than Formula 1.
I was more excited for Secret Santa, which will be coming out in a few weeks. That's the most exciting thing to come out of Abu Dhabi for me. So, yeah, it is a shame, because even when it's a dead race, you can kind of watch the drivers who are leaving all just have a good or bad race. Do you remember the year 2018, I think, where half the grid was changing teams? In Abu Dhabi, all of them finished between 11th and 19th.
Yeah, yeah, it mattered.
It was quite impressive.
It's just always a bit of a shame. But this year, yeah, it just feels like there's nothing to get hyped by, is there? And that's quite difficult when you make a Formula 1 podcast each week.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't even like, obviously, again, mentioning Formula 2. Neither of those drivers were getting a Formula 1 gig if they won the championship. Like, both of them, well, we know Teo Pourchaire staying as a reserve for Alfa Romeo. We know Fred Vesti, I would assume, is going to do, like, DTM or something next year. Just to keep him out of trouble. But for the first time ever, Jamie did not jinx a Formula 2 driver purely because he deliberately, intentionally tried to jinx Teo Pourchaire.
Yeah, I did my absolute best. And it almost came off. After P14 in qualifying, then it was looking good. But then Vesti only qualified 10th. Oh, 9th, sorry, didn't he? So
Yeah.
It was a shame for Vesti. If his wheels didn't fall off for no reason in Zandvoort, then maybe he would have had a chance. But yeah, it is what it is. Pourchaire is probably got the highest ceiling out of those two.
So yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, well, you know, Fred's won 7 races this year to Teo's 1. It made me laugh, because I gave the girlfriend the fantastic stat that F2 champion Teo Porcher won as many races as Clement Novalak, who finished 18th overall.
Doesn't she love Clem?
She does love right Clem, yes. Yeah. And she was gutted, because we sat down to watch the sprint race on Saturday, and he wasn't there. He'd been replaced.
No, he isn't there, is he?
He got replaced. It only got announced on, like, Thursday, and we had no idea.
Yeah.
So suddenly the one man she actually wanted to watch wasn't even there anymore.
Next week we'll be replacing you on this podcast, and she won't have that to watch either.
No, exactly. So funny when we were like, I was like, I know the Estonian guy, Paul Aaron, was racing.
Paul Aaron.
But I'd assumed he was replacing Stanek for it.
Is Paul Aaron a relative of Paul de Vries, who finished 22nd in Formula 1?
He is, exactly. Paul de Vries. But that was so funny. Speaking of Formula 2, though, I know we don't normally talk about it on the show. There was some relevance to it this week, wasn't there? Because basically all of them were in FP1, it felt like. Or any of the decent ones.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, mostly did a good job. Like, a lot of them were up against Formula 1 driving teammates. I guess the F2 drivers haven't just come straight from Las Vegas, which probably helped them. But yeah, specifically the likes of Felipe Drugovic, who obviously isn't an F2 driver, but was last year.
And Smag Stroll.
Finished second place in practice, which obviously it's only practice, doesn't really matter. But you know, the confidence booster from being second on the timesheet and your teammate's fifth is always nice. So decent from Drugovic, and you never know. Could he get a seat one day? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But yeah, I mean, it was quite funny, wasn't it? Because George Russell, it was almost like he kind of didn't get the memo that it was, you know, like kids' day at work or something, or like a kids' sports day, and just shows up and beats everybody up.
Well, it's his only win of the season, to be fair. So.
It is, basically. But, I mean, it was quite interesting, obviously, wasn't it, seeing some of the different drivers obviously competing going out there. You know, interesting, obviously, Red Bull had neither of their drivers out in FP1, because Jake Dennis, obviously, Formula E champion, took over Verstappen's car, and I can't remember who was in Perez's off the top of my head. Was it Iwasa?
It could have been Iwasa.
Or is he even Red Bull Junior?
He is Red Bull Junior, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I know AlphaTauri didn't have any, because they were trying hard to beat Williams, weren't they?
Yes, yeah, AlphaTauri got theirs out of the way. No, they didn't have to, of course, because of Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson was the rookie who drove in practice sessions.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah, so. And he made up, obviously, the numbers he needed to. But, of course, yeah, it was quite interesting, though, wasn't it? But it did kind of mean, you know, as we went into FP2, it was going to be really, really important. Of course, obviously, after all these juniors have put on a good show, keeping the cars clean.
Isaac Kacha.
Making not sure to pick up any damage or ruin anyone's chances. Hülkenberg and Sainz went and ruined FP2 by both crashing.
Yeah, it's good. Good tactics, to be fair. So nobody, unless they drove an FP1, so half the grid didn't have any chance of doing any runs, really, on Friday. So, yeah, I know Verstappen went into the race having not done a long run, which was quite entertaining. And it was genuinely... who crashed first? Sainz crashed first, didn't he?
Sainz crashed first.
Quite a bad one at turn 3.
Yeah.
And then that took a while to fix. And then genuinely, they all were like arguing over space in the pit lane. And about a minute later, Hülkenberg crashes at turn 1.
Yeah. And obviously, we had the controversy then of Verstappen trying to jump cars in the pit lane.
Yeah.
Which
endangering
I thought,
every marshal.
Well, I thought was quite ironic, of course, that he was moaning about people driving slowly when, of course, he did the exact same thing to 5 cars last weekend in Vegas in Q1 and then shafted Ocon, which, of course, we didn't worry about too much because it's Ocon, but still was not a great look, was it? And, of course, that then meant that rules were changed heading into Saturday. But, yeah, obviously, jumping into qualifying then... It was again a bit like Vegas, wasn't it? A bit of a mix-up. It seems to be more on a Saturday than a Sunday that things get all mixed around still.
Yeah, I guess the field is so tight, other than the one driver at the front.
Well, he hasn't qualified on pole since Monza.
Really?
Max Verstappen has not had a pole position since Monza, I believe.
No, surely he has. He did in Qatar, didn't he?
No, McLaren.
I was only in the sprint, I thought.
Oh, I believe it was McLaren pole.
You can fact check. I'm going to go talk about qualifying.
Keep talking about qualifying. I'm pretty certain I'm spot on there. I swear I saw that on the qualifying performance.
The mix-up in Q1 was only non-Red Bull race winner. No, Verstappen's had pole in Sao Paulo and Qatar and Japan and Zandvoort. He didn't even have it in Italy.
What stat did they put on TV then?
I don't know what you've been reading. But anyway, yeah, Carlos Sainz, the only non-Red Bull winner of the season up until this point. Out in Q1, and with this big fight going into the weekend of Mercedes against Ferrari, that really wasn't ideal for Ferrari. He needed to make up 4 points, and Sainz is here qualifying 16th. And yeah, there wasn't really an explanation, just a lack of pace. So yeah, very, very odd for Carlos, but that left him out, along with kind of the usual suspects, I guess, of Magnussen, Bottas, Joe, and Logan Sargeant didn't set a time because of double invalidations.
At turn one.
Yeah, impressive stuff. It was pretty rotten season for all of the bottom. Well, certainly out from Ayo and Haas, wasn't it? The other two teams had a bit of a renaissance,
yeah. If you will, which is not great in 7th and 8th still. But I mean, yeah, Alfa Romeo, of course, their last race. Let's be fair, none of us were really particularly hyped or alarmed. It's kind of felt like a huge stain on Alfa Romeo's record from the early 50s, hasn't it? Because this is officially an Alfa Romeo Formula 1 team. But of course it's not.
Yeah,
it's bizarre.
Just a sponsor.
It's like, just a real shame.
It's like saying that Oracle have an F1 team or whoever sponsored Red Bull.
Yeah. I mean, the thing as well, what gets me with it is I think the thing I'm going to miss most about those Alfa Romeos is just the liveries. Because I'd argue
really
they've
nice.
Probably been the only team reliably over the last 5 years that has given good liveries.
I mean, Red Bull's is okay, but it's not different. It's a nice livery, but it's never...
But Alfa Romeo constantly change it up and it still looks good.
Yeah,
that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah, they gave Charles Leclerc his break.
They did.
And Zhou Guanyu, the other best driver in the team.
With Kimi and Bottas there. I'd argue he's not the worst because Giovinazzi was there.
Yeah, Joe's definitely better than Giovinazzi.
Well, yeah. Well,
and Robert Kubica. He drove a couple races.
He did, didn't he? Everyone always forgets that. But into Q2, though. Into Q2. Hamilton, this time round, was our second shocker. 2 weekends in a row he's not made Q3. Mm. Although it was all but confirmed, wasn't it, by Mercedes that he did, in fact, have a problem with the car.
Of course he did.
No, so something had apparently gone wrong with it by the end of Q2.
Did that stay for the race as well?
I don't know, because it was... Again, Hamilton, again, we said this going into the weekend. He seems bipolar at Abu Dhabi. It's very, very odd. He either dominates and has a failure, or gets robbed, or is nowhere all day.
He's not been bothered the last few races. Ever since he got disqualified from COTA, it feels like he's kind of just given up. Which you don't blame him for.
I think the car as well, they've kind of thought they learned what was good with the car.
And then they don't know again.
And then kind of don't really know anymore. But yeah, that meant obviously Ocon, Stroll should be a shock out in Q2, but isn't. Albon as well did a pretty good job. And yeah, Ricciardo all out in Q2. And it meant Hulk and Tsunoda. Again, two surprises into Q3. Fantastic job done by them. Max would set pole on the first run. No one would be able to go quicker than him. Lando Norris, hats off, Formula Drift. That was incredible to watch live. I thought he was going into a wall there. But not only did he hang on to it, he also didn't invalidate the lap with it. Although I think he should have. Because he only had one wheel on the track.
Yeah, you'd think so. And that's what Albon got done for in Mexico, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I mean, he didn't improve anyway. He lost that second, didn't he? So,
it was only 3/10, I believe.
It was 3/10 off his previous, but I don't know how much he was up before the mistake.
I don't think it was 7/10.
Probably not. But yeah, meant he bottled it and lost out to Piastri, who since summer break, you were telling me before the show, Piastri is better than Norris in qualifying since the summer break.
8-7 for qualifying when you include sprints, which is kind of mad, isn't it? But I think a lot of Piastri's have come on a Friday, which has helped. But then again, you know, it's always Oscar Piastri gets into a new car and will bring it up to pace very, very quickly. Perez as well would mess up his final run, which would mean we had Verstappen, Leclerc for the third weekend in a row, locking out the front row. Piastri, Russell, Norris, Tsunoda, Alonso, Hülkenberg, Perez and Gasly. Shout out to Pierre Gasly. I forgot he made it into Q3.
Yeah, he's doing well, isn't he?
Well, it's not that far.
The best Frenchman on the grid.
That's not exactly a particularly great attribute, is it? That's like going, I'm the best podcaster on No One Wheel. It doesn't mean a lot.
Yeah, the competition's not looking great. So fair enough.
Talk me through the start, Jamie.
Yeah, from the front of the grid, well, Max Verstappen was on pole, and actually Charles Leclerc got probably a better start, didn't he?
Yes,
he was down the inside at turn one, but Verstappen, I was going to say McClure, that's not his name, Max
Troy McClure, from The Simpsons, you might remember me from such films.
Verstappen was able to hang it around the outside, very brave for a driver looking to set records and win races, but
it doesn't matter. He doesn't care.
Well, he was trying to get 1,000 laps led, wasn't he? That was the side quest week. Yeah, so Verstappen threw it around the outside, carried the speed, and kept it on the track. So, yeah, good defensive driving to... Leclerc probably could have been more aggressive, but obviously he's got bigger things to think about with Ferrari versus Mercedes and this battle for fourth, which, if he goes and stuffs it at turn one, won't really help their chances. And then again, into turn six, isn't he? He's down the inside. And he's a bit too respectful to Max Verstappen. But again, understandable because he's not going to beat him over the course of the race. So you might as well not fight, which makes it very uninteresting. But yeah, that was a shame. Behind, there was quite a lot going on. Norris made his way past Russell, didn't he? And that left McLaren 3-4.
And then, Piastri got round him as well. Because obviously Piastri had started in front but got a penalty. So start behind.
Did he? No, he didn't get a pen in the end.
Did he not? Wrong. You lied to me, Jamie. I was very confused by that.
I did correct it. So yeah, Piastri just started third and kept third. And then, yeah, Russell dropped back and then ended up coming back through. Hülkenberg dropped down because he's driving a tractor. And that was kind of it. There wasn't loads going on in in the first section of the race, to be fair. I always think Abu Dhabi just gets more interesting when it gets dark. Do you not think that?
Sometimes
iconic moments in Abu Dhabi are always when it's in the night time.
Well, what are you thinking of? Just 2021?
Well, everything dramatic is always in the last few laps, and they're always when it's dark, when it's under floodlights.
I would say probably the thing I remember as well from Abu Dhabi is either 2010 or Hülkenberg getting flipped.
I don't remember that.
Or Hülkenberg getting flipped?
I do, but I choose not to.
I was going to say, it didn't make much difference, did it? Did it cost him anything that year? I thought they still came fourth.
No.
No, exactly.
And he was best of the rest in his championship because he's the
GOAT. I thought Perez beat him.
No.
I'm not having that. I'm adamant.
2018, Hülkenberg finished second.
I'm Googling certain. It. Talk racing.
I'm certain.
I was Hülkenberg. Fair play by 7 points. Nice podiums, though.
But who cares?
I mean, that is appalling that seventh scored 69 points that year.
Yeah. What was I going to say next? Oh, yeah. The first stint was George Russell finding his way past first Piastri, wasn't it? And then Norris
in
the
pit
stops with a slow stop for McLaren, which is a big shame for him. They didn't seem to have much pace, McLaren, the rest of the race. They kind of just chilled in fourth and fifth, eventually fifth and sixth, didn't they? So, yeah, a bit of a shame when they were hyping themselves up pre-race.
I don't think it was that they were any slower than Leclerc or Russell. I think it was just they were no faster, which kind of made life impossible, didn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. And you kind of had the lower midfield, or like the lower top 10, sorry, being mixed up by Perez coming through, Hamilton slightly coming through.
And just different strategies.
And a lot of different strategies going on.
Because shout out to Yuki Tsunoda became just the second ever Japanese Formula 1 driver, Jamie, to lead a Grand Prix. Can you name me the other one?
Probably Takuma Sato?
Who?
Takuma Sato.
Thank you, yes. Can you name me the racetrack?
Probably not. Probably when he was at VAR.
Yes, rather than Super Aguri.
He drove a few more teams, didn't he?
No.
Was that it?
He was a Honda baby, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I would guess something like Imola.
Indianapolis, he led.
Oh, Indianapolis. Fair.
I believe it was 2004, but I could be wrong about that. But yeah, Yuki Tsunoda.
Surprised Kobayashi never led a lap.
I'm not, particularly, when you look at most of his time in Formula 1 or teams he was with. Yeah, 2012 was a mad. Yeah, I suppose actually, yeah, that you didn't get a lap in anywhere is kind of mad, isn't it? Yeah. But yeah, that meant, of course, it was, again, it was just a quintessential 2023 race where stuff was happening, but not a lot of it was particularly interesting for very long, because, of course, all you do is you now can sit behind the car in front and then just slipstream past them with the DRS. Do we get rid of DRS for next year, Jamie? Or will cars then not be able to get close enough? Or would the drivers try harder to be closer to then get past them still?
I don't know. The problem is it's almost too easy to overtake now.
Well, it's completely too easy because it's too easy to follow.
Yeah, so it means that over the course of a 60-lap race, no matter where you start, generally, the fastest cars will end up at the front and the slowest cars will end up at the back. So, like, even if you have a mixed-up qualifying, you just know that you're going to be watching fast cars drive past slow cars. And yeah, that's kind of it. You want a bit more jeopardy. Like, if Tsunoda qualifies sixth, which he did, and then DRS is turned off, he probably has a lot more chance of finishing fifth or sixth.
Well, like Vitaly Petrov 2010.
Yeah, yeah. And it even feels like it kind of takes away any chance of the small teams, unless you get a scripted late safety car or red flag or something. But that just kind of doesn't feel real. So over the course of a race, like, unless you're driving a Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, or Aston Martin, or McLaren.
So basically, if you're driving any of the faster half of the grid, you'll go forward. Yeah. If you're driving one of the slower half of the grid, you go backwards.
Like, I reckon the average number of cars to score points in a given race is probably six this season.
That's probably the same throughout most seasons of Formula One.
I doubt it.
Six or seven.
But, like, the fact
would you say that there's been seasons where usually eight different teams are scoring?
Not usually.
Bear in mind, obviously, this only goes back to 2010, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you've pretty much in all of that time had Red Bull, Ferrari, and either Mercedes or McLaren, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'm just being wrong.
I wonder if they need to experiment with either making DRS less powerful, or we should have had what we had a few years ago in Abu Dhabi, where they disable it for 10 laps at the start of the race.
Well, it was more like 30 laps at the start
of
the race.
Was it as long as that, was it? I thought it was only 10 or 15.
Hulkenberg was chilling in fourth for, like, ages. It was great.
Fair enough. But, yeah, it was just, again, one of those weird little races, wasn't it? That's happened so much in 2023. Hamilton would make a little bit of a mistake just nudge the back of Ocon when he locked up.
I thought it was Gasly.
I thought it was Ocon, but you could be completely right. Alonso then decided he'd brake check Lewis, didn't he?
Yeah, that was not on, really. Exit. That was a bit...
I put a tweet out about this, and I was surprised I didn't get more hate for it, which was basically saying that if that was any other driver, it would have been a penalty, but because Alonso was the wily old fox, it's strategic driving. No, it's just dangerous.
That wasn't on at all, really. I get he went off the line to try and make it a bit safer, but still, you can't be braking 100 metres before the corner.
What made me laugh more about that, though, was that Sky had no idea that's what he'd done. They were just adamant he'd either had an issue or wasn't concentrating, and you don't think, well, the DRS line's right there. That's obviously what he's doing.
He was trying to get the DRS, wasn't he? But Hamilton was wise to it and didn't pass him. But one thing Hamilton wasn't wise to on the final lap was Yuki Tsunoda. We're jumping ahead a little bit.
I'll say, there was a few more things to go through before we get there. Carlos Sainz. Basically, we didn't see him all race, did we? That was because Ferrari screwed him. He started on the hards. He came through the back of the field quite nicely. Got back to towards the back of where he should have been. Obviously, everyone else then went mediums to hards, and Ferrari put him on another set of hards. Clearly, hoping for a safety car at some point later on in the day, which of course never happened, and it meant that rather than finishing 10th like he was probably going to finish, whether he'd done hard or hard medium, he was then 10th and had to box with a lap to go, which was dumb.
He just retired. He couldn't be bothered doing the last
one. No, he didn't, did he? He didn't even finish. But we did get some final race controversy, didn't we? Sergio Perez would pick up a 5-second penalty for crashing into Lando Norris.
Yeah, what do we think of this?
I think it should have been a penalty, but I also think there's been so many times this year where a certain other Red Bull driver should have got a penalty for doing basically the same thing.
I think he didn't give the stewards a choice because he was locked up and not turning.
No. No, he hadn't locked up that much, though, and he took two bites in it, I think was the odd thing.
But the stewards could tell or anyone watching could tell that he wasn't in control of his car.
No, no.
And it looked a bit clumsy, whereas I feel like when Verstappen does it...
makes it on purpose.
He makes it look less deliberate.
Sorry?
I don't know. No, yeah. He makes it look more deliberate, but he's more in control. So he will turn into the corner.
His recklessness is apparently controlled.
I don't get why one's right and one's not, but that's the question for the rules.
Well, it made me laugh as well, because Lando after the race sort of said he knows Perez can't race wheel-to-wheel very well. He goes, hang on a minute, whenever Max is nearby, you give him eight car lengths.
Jump out the way. Yeah.
Exactly, you just jump out the way.
I mean, Norris did give him a lot of space on the inside.
Oh, absolutely. But it was still kind of the, like, you know, Lando will race Lewis, for example, I've noticed. It might be, again, because I'm a Lewis fan, but it feels like he races Lewis harder than anyone else.
I think he races everyone quite hard, apart from Verstappen.
I think, Verstappen, he certainly doesn't race at all.
Over the course of a race distance, he knows he won't beat Verstappen. I feel like he could beat Verstappen.
How many times have we spoke about this on the show, though, Jamie? If you're in like a McLaren or something like that, it's not about trying to beat him in the race today. It's making him scared if you're in that title fight in the future.
I don't think Verstappen scares easily, to be perfectly
honest. I think he tries to play it down a lot, but you know, I think that's why he reacted so strongly when George hit him in Baku.
Yeah.
It's kind of that, hang on a minute, I don't want him rattling my cage. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Charles Leclerc, then, because obviously Perez picked up that 5-second penalty, tried to become a big brain by giving him DRS and slipstream and letting him overtake and trying to slow George down, all this, that,
and
the other.
It was quite clever. Basically,
it was quite clever in theory, but it didn't work.
It would never have worked. It would have been so difficult to pull off properly. He needed to let Perez through and then let Perez get 4.8 seconds ahead of him. Yeah. He needed to stay within 5 seconds himself, but make sure Russell wasn't in 5 seconds.
And it wouldn't have made a difference anyway.
Which would be so hard to judge. It would have made a difference, wouldn't it?
If
Perez was third with Russell fourth,
yeah,
then Ferrari would have beaten him.
No.
Yeah.
Because Charles was coming second either way, so it was whether George... how many points was in it? Was it two or three? Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought it was still four. Yeah, you're spot.
No. So if Russell had finished fourth instead of third...
Yeah, then, it would have made the difference, wouldn't it?
Yeah, basically the FIA screwed over Ferrari by giving Perez a penalty.
Yeah, they did. Although Perez wouldn't have let Sergio by.
No. Well, Leclerc would have stayed ahead, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but he got the points anyway, so it made no difference.
No, it did. If Perez had no penalty, Perez finishes third that race.
Yeah, I suppose it does. Bizarre. But that then meant, obviously, Max, we didn't see him after that one. Win number 19 of the year. Bish, bash, bosh. It's done.
1,000 laps led in a season.
1,000 laps led. He led exactly...
Did you hear that they changed... Or they basically went for a worse strategy than what was ideal to make sure he led 1,000 laps?
No, I didn't know. He didn't lead exactly 1,000 laps, though, did he?
No, but they had to get over it, so they weren't going to...
Yeah.
So they basically extended his first stint longer than they would have wanted to, just to make sure he got it. He's just out here completing side quests.
He led exactly the same amount of laps as McLaren did in 1988, which, when you think there are seven less races that year, like, people go on, this is the most dominant Formula One car of all time. I still say it's that McLaren. The fact they were three laps away from an undefeated season. Now, of course, they didn't lead every lap in those 15 races that they won. But I still think that is a slightly more impressive feat. And hopefully one that we never see again.
And that McLaren, did not get every pole, or am I making that up?
No, Gerhard Berger stole one at Silverstone, I think, or something.
Wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
Because this Red Bull hasn't been that great in qualifying, to be fair.
Well, I don't even think it hasn't been that great. I think it's just obviously completely set up for races. But, yeah... It was Max Verstappen that took the win. Charles Leclerc, P2. George Russell, his second podium of the year. Yeah. Deary me. But it does mean, Jamie, Lance Stroll didn't get a single podium all year in what was quite often the second best car.
Quite
shocking.
Often's a stretch.
It's the first half of the year. It basically
first
was every
year,
weekend.
Yeah, it's true.
I would argue that Aston Martin was second best on more weekends than any other car this year.
Probably, actually. I think, Mercedes and Ferrari weren't second that often, were they?
No, it was kind of an Aston Martin, McLaren, for a lot of the year. And Mercedes and Ferrari took a few each way. But yeah, Perez P4 in the end, Norris Piastri, Alonso, Tsunoda did beat Lewis Hamilton in the end, and yeah, Lance Stroll
messed up a last lap move when we heard that before.
He did. He didn't mess up a last lap move in 2021. He got pushed out of the way.
He could have covered the inside if he wanted to, couldn't he?
Wow, I think Max came from too far back anyway. 5 second penalty for contact.
There wasn't any contact.
There was contact in 2021.
There wasn't. Hamilton jumped out of the way.
I thought there genuinely was contact. No.
Hamilton had to turn out the corner, but there wasn't contact.
Shocking moment by Max. But yeah, 2023. It's done, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. We can go and rest.
I don't think either of us are too disappointed. I don't think either of us are going to miss the season, are we, particularly?
Not at all.
It'll be one that's kind of remembered just for the records that were broke rather than anything else.
I can't think of anything memorable apart from Verstappen's records. That's basically it.
That basically just defined
Has
the
there been
year,
an absolute banger race? Like Singapore
Zandvoort
was all right. Zandvoort was pretty good.
Yeah. But Singapore every season gets a decent race like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Singapore was voted race of the season, I believe.
It was one of the... It was hit that or Zandvoort, probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, those are definitely the two in the running. But it is, I believe, Jamie, a season that we will remember for good reason.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
Predictions recap, dear. Jamie. Let's get it out of the way.
You know what? I actually think I did myself proud in these predictions.
You... have won in 2021 and 2022. The scores on the doors going into the final race of 2023 were 77 to me and 74 to Jamie. Now, just to remind you all, last year, Jamie won 66 to 47. He thrashed me last year.
Yes.
What were our predictions heading into this one? Did you get them written down?
I know mine. I can't remember quite what you did.
I believe I went Max... I think Perez, I think Leclerc Perez.
No, you had Norris up there.
Did I go Norris Perez? Yeah, I went Norris Perez, didn't I?
Yes.
And you did. Who did you go with?
I went Leclerc Pole, which was a good start.
Yeah.
10th off. and then Max win, Leclerc second, Lewis Hamilton third. So you know what? That's not that bad.
Well, it does mean at the end of the season... Well, it was made me laugh because, of course, after Saturday, because obviously we shared Max, I messaged Jamie going, you know, I've scored 2 points here. We've both got Max on our roster, so you now can't win.
Yeah. So after Saturday, I think overall I didn't do that bad this weekend.
Well, but, what does it mean? It was 79-74 going into the race.
77-74.
No, I got so Max correct. So oh, yeah, 79 going into the race, yeah. So I got Max 81. Bang on as well. So I got 81. And I also got... No, Norris didn't get a podium, did he?
No.
So I finished the season on 81. You got Charles Leclerc wrong.
So I got the same points. But I feel like I get the moral victory because I got the teams right and got the pole almost right.
Well, how many points were you on in the end? At the end of the 78. Year? 78. So I win by 2 points! No. It's a victory! I'm 2-for-1. I'm 1-for-2 even. Count. Yeah, no, I won by 2 points. You said you had 78.
Yeah, you were 81.
Did I? Oh yeah, I got Max right again, didn't I? I will take
well done.
That.
You won Thank because you. You put a Max pole and Max win. I hope you feel proud of yourself.
Well, I got Leclerc right last week, which was the swing
yeah,
in pole.
That was the big swing.
That was what gave me it in the end, which I'm very, very happy about.
So you'll see a rogue tweet, which I never tweet anyway.
No, you
so.
Can't announce this, Jamie. You can't announce
well,
the rogue
Well, that was
tweet.
What was on the line. That was what
it's always on the line, and we will do it again next year. And I look forward to it.
And I tweet about 6 times a year, so just look for a tweet from my account. It's probably Matt at this
point. I've just got to think of something that's offensive but Top Gear related, so it fits with yours.
Something that won't get me sacked would be ideal.
We'll wait and see.
I've got a veto if I think it will make me lose my job.
Fair
or
enough.
My career.
I'm gonna lose my job. Would you like, Jamie, your final quiz of the year?
I actually would. I'm excited for this.
You are going to love your quiz today. I'm going to give you 1 minute.
Oh, timed ones are the worst. Okay.
Timed ones are the worst. But it's very, very simple. Of course, this year, Jamie, the... sorry, let me just count how many answers there are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 answers. So I'll give you a minute and a half.
Okay.
For this.
It's always good when Matt isn't sure if he's got all the answers.
No, I have got all the answers. I double and triple checked.
Okay.
It all makes sense. It all makes sense. So, I genuinely think you're going to love this quiz because it's something a bit different.
Okay.
Obviously, 2023 going into 2024, there's only one driver that's still not definitely got a seat, even though we're pretty certain they do. Everyone else is either staying, no one's retiring, nothing is changing. However, 10 years ago, 15 drivers either moved teams, retired, or joined Formula One.
From 13 to 14.
13 into 14. Can you name me the drivers?
So people who left, joined, or moved.
Can you give me the driver and the team they went to or left? Your time starts now.
13 into 14. Okay, Mercedes was the same.
Yeah.
Ferrari, Massa, Raikkonen.
Where did they go?
That's not part of the quiz.
Yeah, it is. I just said
it's not. Williams.
So Kimi,
Lotus to Ferrari. Williams. Yep. Give me more time. This is ridiculous.
Right, okay. Carry on. Get on with it.
You've got two. Red Bull, 13 to 14. Weber retired.
Yep.
And Ricciardo came in for Toro Rosso.
Yep.
Vettel was the same. Williams went from Bottas and Maldonado to Massa and Bottas. So Maldonado went to Lotus from Williams. Force India went from Di Resta and Sutil. They both left, and they were replaced by Hülkenberg from Sauber, Perez from McLaren.
Yep.
McLaren went from Perez and Button to Perez and Magnussen. No, Button and Magnussen. Toro Rosso went from Vern and Ricciardo to Vern and Kvyat, who was new. Caterham went from Kovalainen and Petrov, I believe. Petrov and Pick. Kobayashi and Pick was...
you got Shell Pick right, you got 10 seconds.
Mana was Bianchi, Chilton, they stayed. Any teams I've forgotten?
This is so fun. Your so time's
chaotic. Sauber,
that
Gutierrez.
That was such a mess. Your time's up.
That was a ridiculous... You asked me about 10 different questions.
I genuinely thought you'd love that one. And to be fair, you did better than I thought you'd do.
If you gave me more time, I was like... I've got
to name, you would have got more if I gave you more time, but that's pointless.
But I've got to do who they went from and to, and which teams they went from and to. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, no. You got 11 out of 15 there in your time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you forgot to mention the fact that Sutil went to Sauber. You did mention he left Force India, but you didn't. You gave me the team he left rather than the answer I wanted, which is the team he went to.
You didn't really make that clear, which
I did.
You asked me the drivers. I told you the drivers, and you were like, no, which team they gone to?
Yeah, exactly. No, I told you, you got to give me the driver and where they went.
That's
pretty
ridiculous.
Simple. Didn't say where they had to come from.
Okay.
You failed to mention Guido van der Garde getting dropped by Caterham. And you forgot to mention Kobayashi and Ericsson coming in. You were adamant that Kobayashi left, but no,
oh, yeah,
he
only came in, didn't he?
Yeah, came in for 2014. And Ericsson.
I was just naming drivers
that
I thought drove at the time.
To be fair, 11 out of 15 on that one, I will give you. You
and
did
the
well.
Only drivers I forgot were all irrelevant. So.
And that was hilarious.
That was
because
funny.
you also got. I was surprised you didn't just do Kvyat to Toro Rosso for Ricciardo. But you did manage to come back round quite well. The way you did it worked in the end. But 11 out of 15, that's not bad to finish the season. That might be the last quiz for a little while, apart from when we do our big quiz.
No, I might ask you just random questions.
Random ones.
Week.
Okay, fair enough. race rating? I think it was a 6.
It was dead. That's my rate, though.
It was
5.5.
Yeah, 5.5 or 6. Often I give it a slightly higher rate than you.
I won't rewatch it anytime soon. Not that I watched it in the first place this week.
No, exactly. Shout out as well to the man that hates Christmas, Franz Tost. 18-year run with Toro Rosso, joining them at the end of 2005, ready for the 2006 season. The second longest standing team principal in the sport behind Christian Horner. Staggering, isn't it? The way Red Bull have kept both their team principals for as long as they have.
Impressive.
But fair play to him. I think, you know, apart from the fact the only thing we know about him is he hates Christmas, he did a pretty good job in
He's
an old
right
team.
Job. Introduced 2 world champions to the grid. And a
something ridiculous,
race
like a third of the grid have raced under him at some point.
Isn't it? 7 out of 20.
Yeah, right? Madness.
Yeah,
madness.
And loads of race winners. There've been like eight or nine, something like that.
Yeah. Vettel, Gasly, Ricciardo,
Verstappen,
Sainz.
I think that might be it.
There's probably one more that we're forgetting, hidden in there somewhere.
Not Webber.
Not Webber. No, definitely not Mark Webber.
No, I can't think anymore.
No. Alonso raced for the team that was Toro Rosso beforehand, or Racing Bulls, or whatever they're called next year. It wasn't France Toss, no. But it was
Racing
still
Bulls
shame,
is a dead name, by the way.
It's Red so Bull bad, isn't it? Because it implies that Red Bull aren't racing.
Well, they're not. They're just first and second. So
well, yeah. Well, they're not second very often. Perez, fun fact, ladies and gentlemen, managed to score 20 points less than he did last year, despite having more races.
More race.
And a much more dominant car, which is quite staggering.
Yeah, any exciting championship things were settled? I guess fourth place.
Oh, yeah, there were quite a few, weren't there? We got all our wrong there, didn't we, in that order? We said Lando would pick up P4. We also said that Leclerc would still end up P6, and he didn't. Sainz got completely screwed in the end. Yeah. Ferrari, absolutely like, oh, yeah, Charles the number one, we better let him win.
Yep.
But he did tie Alonso with Alonso.
Alonso got more third places.
They were tied for second places as well. It was by virtue of more third places. So is that the second time Lando Norris has? No, McLaren won by a point, didn't they, a few years ago? Sainz beat Albon or Gasly, didn't he, in 2019?
Yes. Yeah, AlphaTauri didn't quite have enough to beat Williams.
No, I'm happy for Williams for that one, because let's be fair, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter for AlphaTauri, they'll get the funding either way. Williams, that is a big haul of cash.
Yeah.
So I hope I hope Williams next year can apply pressure to Alpine, but I'm not convinced. And of course, you know, as we get into to be honest, Jamie, I was thinking about this earlier on, we're not going to have many free podcast episodes, because of course the season kicks off again right at the end of Feb next year.
Oh wow.
Saturday, first race next year. We've got three icebergs still to do, a quiz, three preview shows to do, and a predictions episode. We've got like 2 months of podcasts already, and we've got like three other episodes to fill in.
Wow, I'm
January.
Sure we can work something out.
I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will.
Get yourself excited and subscribed in that order.
Definitely, definitely. Have we got anything else to add though, Jamie?
Have we got anything else to add? Gasly beat Ocon. There you go.
Gasly, well, he stayed ahead of Ocon, didn't he? Which means Gasly is better than Alonso.
Yeah, I agree. nothing else changed, did it?
Or did Tsunoda? Not particularly.
Tsunoda, I know, he's already ahead of Bottas, yeah.
Yeah.
season for the Haas and the Alfa Romeo boys just wanting to go home. You could just tell.
Wow. It does beg the question, doesn't it? Because Haas, in the last 5 years, I think have not finished higher than 8th in the constructors. Their second time in 3 years they finished last. They only really scored points, what, on 3 occasions all year?
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking good.
Well, 5, but yeah.
Yeah. It's not looking good for Haas, is it?
Good.
But I'm sure we'll talk about that more over the
best drive lineup that they haven't.
Yeah. I was going to say, they're probably two of the drivers that will be out of the sport soon. You know, could we see Haas sell off to Andretti?
No. Andretti are an entity. We'll get into that over the winter, I'm sure. We'll stop rambling about rubbish.
Definitely. Not that we do that all season long anyway. Jamie, obviously, I know there's some of you that obviously will only watch the podcast throughout the season. So, Jamie, I just want to say, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure. I think when we started this 3 years ago, or just under 3 years ago, I don't think either of us thought we'd still be doing it now. And to
not
be 150 really. Episodes in, chatting to one of my best mates about Formula 1.
Not yet. We're only 149.
No, I was saying almost 150 episodes.
I might not
in.
Come back next week.
Please do, because otherwise I'll be sat here talking to myself, which would be a bit sad.
Yeah.
As always, it has been an absolute pleasure. So thank
Absolutely.
You as well.
The best part about Formula 1 this year has been talking to you.
Oh,
the rest of the season's been
awful.
It's
been pretty dead, hasn't it? Yeah.
Low standards.
Exactly. But thank you, as always, for everyone for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure, like we said, you sub to the Knowing Wheel channel. But yeah, our last race review of 2023, And just like most of the season, it was a pretty mediocre one, wasn't it, Jamie? What a lovely note to end of. But we just pray that next year will be, you know, peg Red Bull back by 6-7 tenths of a second, and we'll be in for a banger.
Every season following a dominant season in the past has been decent, so
we've got our fingers crossed, ladies and gents.